Have you ever felt like you were just steamrolled by a government decision?
I think we all have at some point.
Like a new law or regulation that seemed totally unfair and you just had zero say in the matter.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, like when they jacked up property taxes last year.
Exactly. Yeah. Or maybe it was something even bigger, something with national implications that left you feeling totally powerless.
Right, right. Those are the worst.
Well, today we're diving deep into a 1915 Supreme Court case that still shapes how governments make rules today.
1915, wow, that's going way back.
It really is. But the core issue at the heart of this case is surprisingly relevant even in 2025.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Buckle up, because we're talking about a 40% property tax hike across the entire city of Denver, Colorado.
Whoa, 40%? That's a huge jump.
Oh, it gets even crazier. Mm-hmm. The city didn't hold any individual hearings for property owners before slapping them with this massive increase.
Seriously, no chance to plead their case or anything?
Nope, just bam, 40% tax increase across the board.
That sounds outrageously unfair. I mean, talk about feeling powerless.
Yeah.
You're telling me. So naturally, a group of property owners sued, claiming this violated their right to due process.
Makes sense. It's right there in the 14th Amendment. No state shall deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law.
Exactly. But here's where things get really interesting. The Supreme Court actually rules against the property owners.
What? They upheld a 40% tax hike without any hearings. How could they possibly justify that?
Well, that's what makes this case so fascinating.
Mm.
It all boils down to a landmark ruling known as Bimetallic Investment Company v. State Board of Equalization.
Bimetallic Investment Company, huh? Never heard of it.
Most people haven't. But this case is like the bedrock of administrative law. It basically set a precedent for when individual hearings are and are not constitutionally required.
Okay, now I'm really curious to unpack this. So in this Bimetallic case, the Supreme Court said due process doesn't always require a hearing.
That's the gist of it. Their reasoning was that if a rule applies broadly to a large group of people, like everyone in Denver in this case, individual hearings aren't necessary.
Hmm. I can see where they're coming from. I mean, imagine if Congress doubled income tax rates. Would they have to hold a personal hearing for every taxpayer in America?
It would be total chaos, right?
Yeah.
The government would just grind to a halt.
Right. So I guess in that sense, the bimetallic ruling makes sense. It's all about balancing individual rights with the need for efficient governance.
That's exactly what the court was grappling with. They basically said, look, in some cases, the government needs to be able to make sweeping decisions without getting bogged down in endless individual hearings.
So it's like they drew a line in the sand. They said, okay, here's where due process requires individual attention, and here's where it doesn't.
And that line, as you might have guessed, is pretty blurry.
I bet. So tell me, how did the court differentiate the bimetallic case from those situations where individual hearings are absolutely required?
That's where it gets even juicier. They introduced this concept of quasi-legislative versus quasi-judicial actions.
Quasi what now? Those are some fancy legal terms.
Basically, they said the Denver property tax hike was a quasi-legislative decision, meaning it was like a law being passed that impacted everyone equally. It wasn't targeted at specific individuals, like denying someone a driver's license or seizing their property.
Okay. So because it applied to everyone across the board, it was more like a general policy decision, not something that required a case-by-case review?
Precisely. And that distinction is crucial because it's at the heart of how we understand the limits of due process today.
So does this mean that if a rule is classified as quasi-legislative, individuals just have to suck it up and accept it, even if they believe it's unfair?
That's a great question, and one we'll definitely explore further. But the short answer is no. The bimetallic ruling doesn't mean individuals are completely without recourse.
Okay, good. Because that would be a pretty bleak scenario.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But before we get into those alternative avenues for challenging unfair rules, let's take a closer look at how this bimetallic test actually works in practice, because it's way more nuanced than it might seem at first glance.
I am all ears, lay it on me.
So we've established that a 40% property tax hike across an entire city without individual hearings is apparently constitutional.
According to this 1915 Supreme Court ruling, yes.
But how does that actually work in practice? I mean, there must be some limits, right? The government can't just make any sweeping decision it wants and claim bimetallic as a shield.
You're absolutely right to question that the bimetallic ruling isn't a blank check for the government.
So where's the line? When does the due process clause kick in and require individual hearings?
That's where the bimetallic test comes in. It's a set of criteria that courts use to determine if a particular government action falls under that broadly applicable rule exception we've been discussing.
Okay, break it down for me. What are the factors in this bimetallic test?
Essentially, courts look at three main things. First, the general applicability of the rule. Does it apply to a large group of people, or does it target specific individuals? Second, the scale of the impact. Is this a minor inconvenience, or does it have a significant impact on people's lives? And third, the practicality of holding individual hearings. Would it be feasible to give everyone affected a chance to be heard?
So going back to our Denver property tax example, it applied to everyone, had a huge financial impact, and individual hearings for every property owner would have been a logistical nightmare.
Exactly. That's why the court ruled the way they did.
But let's say hypothetically that Denver had only raised taxes on, I don't know, houses with purple doors. Would that trigger the need for individual hearings?
Most likely, yes. Because now we're talking about a rule that targets a very specific group of people. It wouldn't be a broadly applicable rule in the same way that a citywide tax increase is.
And we actually have a precedent for that, right? Didn't the Supreme Court rule differently in that Londoner v. Denver case?
They did. In that case, the city of Denver was assessing a small group of property owners for a specific street paving project. The court said, nope, you can't just single out these few individuals and expect them to foot the bill without a chance to present their case.
Ah, so it's all about context. The bimetallic ruling doesn't mean the government can just do whatever it wants. There are still safeguards in place to protect individual rights.
Precisely. And that's what makes administrative law so interesting. It's this constant back and forth between individual rights and the need for efficient governance.
Okay, so we've got this framework for understanding when individual hearings are required. But let's be real. Even if you don't have a right to a formal hearing, it still feels pretty powerless when a government decision just steamrolls over you, right?
That's a valid point. And it's a feeling many of us can relate to. But the bimetallic case also highlights that due process isn't limited to just individual hearings.
So there are other ways to challenge rules we find unfair.
Absolutely. And the transcript emphasizes one in particular, political participation. Voting for representatives who align with your views, participating in public hearings before rules are finalized, engaging in political activism to try to change those rules. These are all vital forms of due process.
Like, okay, maybe you don't get your day in court for this specific rule, but you still have a voice in shaping the broader system.
Exactly. And in a way, that's even more powerful because you're not just fighting for your own individual rights, you're fighting for a system that's more fair and just for everyone.
I like that. So it's not about feeling powerless. It's about channeling that frustration into meaningful action.
That's the spirit. And the bimetallic case, despite being over a century old, actually provides a roadmap for that kind of action.
All right. So we've talked about property taxes in 1915, but I'm guessing this case has implications that reach far beyond that, right?
You bet it does. We live in a world filled with rules and regulations, and the bimetallic ruling is constantly being cited and interpreted as courts grapple with the question of when individual hearings are necessary.
Give me some examples. What kind of modern day issues are we talking about here?
Well, think about the Environmental Protection Agency setting air quality standards that impact businesses across the country, or the Food and Drug Administration approving a new medication that millions of people might rely on.
Wait, hold on. Let's talk about a really hot button issue. Those COVID-19 mandates that popped up everywhere a few years ago. Would the bimetallic ruling apply in those situations?
That's a great question, and one that courts are still grappling with today. On the one hand, a mask mandate, for example, is a broadly applicable rule that affects a large population, much like the property tax increase in bimetallic.
So you're saying it could potentially fall under that exception for legislative type rules?
Potentially, yes. But it's not a simple black and white issue. Courts would have to consider the specific circumstances, the severity of the health crisis, the rationale behind the mandate, and weigh those factors against the potential burden on individual rights.
Okay, so even though bimetallic provides a framework, there's still a lot of room for interpretation and debate when it comes to applying these principles to modern issues.
Absolutely. And that's what makes administrative law so fascinating. It's constantly evolving as new challenges arise.
This is blowing my mind. We start with a case about property taxes in Denver, and now we're talking about everything from environmental regulations to global pandemics. It's incredible to see how this one ruling has had such a lasting impact.
It really has. The bimetallic case is a foundational principle of administrative law, and it raises some truly thought-provoking questions that are still relevant today.
Okay, so where does this leave us? It feels like we've gone down this rabbit hole and come out the other side with more questions than answers.
Well, that's the nature of a deep dive, isn't it? It's about exploring the nuances and complexities, not necessarily finding easy solutions.
True enough. But I do think we've unearthed some valuable insights along the way. We've learned about this landmark case, Bimetallic, and how it shaped the way we think about due process in the context of broadly applicable rules.
And we've seen how that seemingly obscure case from 1915 still has ripple effects today, influencing how we approach everything from environmental regulations to public health mandates.
Exactly. I feel like I have a much better grasp now of how the government balances the need for efficiency with the protection of individual rights.
It's a delicate balancing act, to say the least.
It is. And the Bimetallic case provides a framework for understanding that balance. It reminds us that while individual hearings are crucial in certain circumstances, they're not always practical or necessary when dealing with rules that impact large groups of people.
But it also reminds us that we're not powerless. Even if we don't have a right to a formal hearing, we still have a voice through political participation, advocacy, and engaging in the public discourse.
Absolutely. And perhaps that's the most important takeaway from all of this. The Bimetallic case isn't just a legal precedent. It's a call to action. It's a reminder that we all have a role to play in shaping the rules that govern our society. I love that. So to our listeners out there, if you're ever faced with a government decision that feels unfair or unjust, don't just sit back and accept it. Do your research. Understand the legal framework. And most importantly, make your voice heard. Whether it's through voting, contacting your representatives, or joining a grassroots movement, there are ways to make a difference.
Well said. And who knows, maybe your actions will spark the next Bimetallic, prompting a reevaluation of how we balance individual rights and efficient governance in the ever-evolving landscape of the 21st century.
That's a thought-provoking note to end on. Thank you for joining me on this deep dive. It's been an enlightening journey.
The pleasure was all mine. Until next time.